Create Art Podcast, KDOI Rebroadcast, Hip Hop as Art, interview with Ethan Rush. Hello, friends. This is Timothy Kim O'Brien, your head instigator for Create Art Podcast, where we help you tame your inner critic and create more than you consume. This is a special KDOI rebroadcast from my old show. And this one is a very special rebroadcast because, well, it was a lot of fun to do, first and foremost. I had, about a month previous to this interview, I had my cervical spine fused, C4 through C7. And I was under a lot of Vicodin. And in order to do that, they have to move your vocal cords to the side so that way they can fuse your spine. So when you hear my voice, you're going to hear it really rough and gravelly. And the interview that I'm doing is with my nephew, Ethan Rush, who at the time was living in Madison, Wisconsin, and was a hip-hop artist. He has since moved in with me and is a spoken word artist and a great illustrator. So enjoy this interview. It's a lot of fun, and I can't wait for you to listen to it. As a matter of fact, this interview, when I was with the DC Podcasters group, we did a spin the bottle kind of thing where you play 5 minutes of your podcast episode. And I played the first 5 minutes of this and they all loved it. So without further ado, I'm going to bring you back to 2018 when we still had some sort of, you know, resemblance of a civilization. And this is a rebroadcast of KDOI Hip Hop as Art Form interview with Ethan Rush.
What up, white boy?
All right. Thank you, DJ Vulture, for that wonderful bump in music. Hi, I'm Timothy Kim O'Brien, and you've made it back to KDOI Podcasting. That's right, Kimo's Den of Iniquity Podcasting, where we create more than we consume. Folks, it's 2018. We've got some fantastic guests lined up this year, and this week is no exception. Now, I do need to do my usual transparency thing, folks. This guest, well, I can honestly say I've known this guest the longest of any of the guests that I've had so far. Now, we've come through 2017 with 7 episodes, and now we're in 2018, and this is the 4th episode in 2018. And I've known a lot of my guests for about 20 years, 15, 20 years. But this guest I've known for well over 20 years. And I can say that he's a pretty awesome guy, not only because he is an awesome guy and I'm slightly related to him, but I'm this guy's favorite fucking uncle, all right? So without further delay, I'm going to bring to you Ethan Rush. Ethan, are you here on the line with us?
I'm here, man. I just I appreciate the heartfelt intro. That was really something. I thank you for that. The other point is I'm trying to get a pizza up in this house. So I hit your number by mistake. I'm sorry. It's right next to Domino's. I only have 2 Skype contacts. One of them is you. The other is Domino's. I'm very happy to talk with you. You know, spend some time, see how things are going. But also, I might have to take a break at some point to order and call that other number that I have staring back at me in my Skype contacts.
Now, you know what? Domino's. Ethan, I'm rather shocked at this. I mean, this is the first time in an interview where I just want to reach through and slap one of my guests. Domino's? Ethan, have I taught you nothing?
It's the only thing that delivers around. In Madison, you got a couple choices. Now, the Domino's is pretty close. It's down the street.
Okay.
It's nice. It's not by choice. It's by necessity. It's just the way that it goes, man. I don't enjoy it while I'm eating it. It's not a good time. You feel terrible afterwards. Yeah. You know, you're out of commission. It's not going to happen. You know, you're hardly a human being at that point. It's, you're just walking around. Like, you ever see people go around on Sundays and they just kind of shamble around. You don't really know where you're going. You go to the grocery store or something. You're trying to pick up something. And then, you know, somebody's just standing in the middle of the aisle and they're staring through, like, the taco seasonings or something. It's like, dude, just pick one.
Yeah.
That's what happens. After you're done, you are transformed into a supremely vegetative state. And that's about it.
Does it make you happy to break your uncle's heart? Is this what it's come to? After all the years that I've taught you, is this what it's come to?
I feel a deep pain in the core of my body, but I also have you, I have your profile picture here on Skype, okay. And you're smiling at me. All right. But then next to that is a picture of a scrumptious Domino's pizza, and it's staring back at me, and I know what it's going to do.
Yes, you do. Me,
but at this point, I can't stop. I lack the control. Okay. I can't do it.
What I'm going to do for you, because I know I raised you better than this. I'm going to put a subliminal suggestion in your head. I want you to go ahead and get that Domino's pizza. I want you to do that. But then, once you start eating that Domino's pizza, I want you to think back to Chicago, the many times that we spend in Chicago.
Oh.
And I want you to think of the deep dish pizza, that I introduced you to up in Ravenswood, Chicago style pizza, Ravenswood. I just want you to think about that. And I want you to, you know, just imagine what that was all about while you're eating your Domino's pizza. Okay.
As I recall, we flavor profiled that. That went well with, did a little bit of research, went to see what would go good with that, and it turns out Merlot is the pizza for deep dish in Chicago. Merlot is the wine.
Absolutely.
Like how you're supposed to eat like shellfish and white wine, that's what you do. Merlot and pizza is the classic combination.
And specifically Beaujolais. It looks like Boggle, but it's actually pronounced Beaujolais Merlot. That's the wine you want to use with Chicago deep dish pizza.
Can I say Boggle anyway? Is that open to interpretation?
You can say Boggle. I mean, some people say Sartre. Some people say Sartre. Some people say that crazy French fuck, you know?
Okay.
It's up to you how you want to. I say Beaujolais. That's how it was introduced to me. You could go Boggle. We could actually play a game of Boggle while we're drinking Beaujolais and eating Chicago-style deep-dish pizza.
If we do that, slip space opens up, and that's a big problem. I got stuff I got to do. Like, I can't have the universe folding in on itself because you put Beaujolais and Beaujolais in one room. That's... But you know what? Hey, let's get it. That's fine. Like, never mind.
We can go crazy like that.
Either everything becomes amazing and surreal, or everything just stops and explodes, and both of those are pretty seemingly good options.
I'm all about it. I'm all about it. Folks, this is why this cat is my nephew, all right? So let's talk a little history here, all right, kiddo? Now, I know you. You know me. We've known each other now for over 20 years. I'm not going to reveal your age to the audience.
Thank you.
You're over 20. You're of legal drinking age and then some.
Yeah, but we still drink like it's illegal. That's the only fun way to do it.
Absolutely. Drink like it's illegal, kids. But I'd like to step back in time, if we could, through the mists of time, and relay a story that could explain why you are the way you are today. And I'm going to take some responsibility for this, okay? So I remember a little young punk kid many, many, many moons ago, and I handed him a CD, a jazz CD. Do you remember what that jazz CD was, who that was?
It was Kind of Blue, Miles Davis. I got that on my counter in my room.
Yeah, and I believe, gosh, you weren't even a teenager at that point. You were like, what, 8, 10, something like that?
No, I was still listening to Matchbox 20.
You're still listening to Matchbox 20, okay.
Right. At that point, I think I was. I was getting a little smash mouth here, a little Matchbox 20 there, and we were cooking it up into one big pre-adolescent shit pot.
That's right. That's right. And I'm pretty sure I was stoned the day that I gave you that CD. Pretty sure I was. I wouldn't doubt it. But, you know, my personal belief is that we need to go out there and, okay, Matchbox 20, people like that for some odd reason. They're artistic, They're a good group for somebody. They're doing their shit. Hey, I'm happy for them. They're making the money. Rock and roll. You got Miles Davis, who I'm sounding like right now, actually. Late Miles Davis. And that's what happens when you get your vocal cords wrapped around your ankle. He's been doing his shit for millions of years. And, well, I mean, he's been dead for millions of years, too. But, I mean, his shit still is sailing and going on.
He's been in existence for, like, 3 million years now. Oh, yeah. That's at this point, you know.
I think that goes without saying. I mean, he should be on Mount Rushmore. And instead of those other four jackasses, you need to have some Miles Davis up there. Just saying. Actually, you need to have the whole Miles Davis group at that time from the late 50s, from about 57 to 62. That Miles Davis group, whoever was in it, needs to be on Mount Rushmore.
That is, it sounds expensive. I'm totally down for that. I will donate monthly.
Okay, good deal. Well, there's a Patreon account for that, and we'll get the details on that for everybody later on. But I guess my main point is that, you know, these folks out here, whether you're a teeny bopper kid or a jazz aficionado or something like that, these people go out there and they do stuff. You know, they don't do their 9-to-5 job and then that's it. And then they go out, masturbate, and go to bed. You know, they go out there and they add something to the world. Now, Ethan, everybody I've talked to on this radio show, on this podcast, gosh, I still call it a radio show because I've been doing it for so freaking long. Everybody I talk to on this podcast has artistic abilities. You have artistic abilities. What are they? I've been trying to figure this out for years. What are your artistic abilities? What do you get into?
Ooh. Been doing a lot of finger painting. That's number one on the list here. We just got a big marker board for our apartment. Been writing notes on it and things like that. I've been working on that quite a bit with Sharpies. So In terms of IQ, not the best. It doesn't come off. So now we just have to keep doing the same things over and over again. Because it's permanent. What are you going to do? Go against your word? You said that. You wrote that down. That's you're committed to that at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
But mostly artistically, I've been drawing on marker boards with Sharpies. And most people are not happy about that. It's taken up all the room on the board. They don't like that at all.
Well, you know what? I think I'm going to have to give you a housewarming gift and get you another board. It's a failure on my part. I'll get that mailed out to you before your birthday. You're getting another board so that way you can draw on that.
We've been trying to go under the fridge lately. We've been trying to step our magnet game up. I don't know how this goes. Like, I'm not a housey homey person, but there are certain touches that you can add to things that make it, it's like welcome home. You know, was your day shit? Here's a funny picture of a cat on your fridge. The other day I went, I was up at the DA's office, nothing terrible.
Yeah.
And, that's a story for another time. But it's full of, information on, like, don't hit people, you know?
Right.
So I don't know what their manifesto is, but I mean, there's stickers, there's magnets, there's buttons everywhere. My question is, who's beating the shit out of each other at the DA's office?
There's a lot of people doing that. They like to have a lot of arguments over there just because, they smoke cigars and they drink bad whiskey.
That's what it is.
Smoking cigars and drinking bad whiskey causes people to want to be more like Tom Waits than they actually should be. All right.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. I don't know if, you know, I never seen him get into a brawl, but at the same time, I think, it was kind of interesting. It struck me as, you know, like, man, we're going to get to the DA's office and then we're going to sell this shit right now. That kind of thing. You know, I didn't know that was an option. So now that I do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's always options at the DA's office. No. I would recommend the next time that you go, what you want to do is you don't want to order drinks. Don't order drinks at the DA's office.
That's what the, okay. Well, that's where I, all right. No, that was the problem. All right. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, because anytime you do the drinking thing at the DA's office, there's a lot of arguments. A lot of people get real snobby. They get real pretentious. And it's not a good day. It's not a good day.
Not the best. No.
You don't need that kind of frustration in your life.
I will keep that in mind for next time.
Okay, good deal. So let's still stay in the past here a little bit. Now, Ethan, you've been on KDOI before, have you not?
Correct,
I have. The prosecution has a question for you. You've been on the show before, right?
That is correct, sir.
Okay. And what have you done on the show?
I did a little bit of slamming. That was kind of back earlier in the writing days. That was doing a lot of writing in the car type of days.
Doing a lot of writing in the car. Now, is that something that you recommend for the kids these days, for the young kids out there that are on the Twitter and they're on the Facebook and all that, getting in a car, driving around and writing poetry at the same time?
If they're over the age of 16 with a valid driver's license, then I would recommend driving around. Yeah, I wouldn't recommend writing. I wouldn't recommend writing in general.
So driving around, but not
writing. If you have to write, don't do them simultaneously.
Okay,
that's not a good idea. But
gotcha.
You know, yeah, do whatever you want. They're gonna grow up. They eat your vegetables. You grow up big and strong, you kids.
Like I always say, you know what? I put it up there for the kids. It's up on the shelf. If the kids want to grab it off the shelf, it's up to them. Okay, I'm not putting the hypodermic needle with the morphine in it. I'm not putting that needle in their arm. Just the needle is up on the shelf. If they pull it down, it's on them, not on me. Okay.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that you're not in the habit of injecting morphine into children. That's good.
Well, I stopped that with you. I mean, yeah, everyone got a little upset about that. I don't know why. I think you turned out okay.
I think I did great. Damn, look at this.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that's
no kidding. No, we've been doing a lot of writing, poetry wise. We've got sort of a 2-man thing going at the time. Rap crew, been doing a lot of hip hop writing oriented in that. My buddy Michael's been doing guitar work, recording work, piano work, very talented, multi-instrumentalist. Thinking about throwing cello into something more recently, but yeah, we've been working on hip hop project up here in Madison for quite some time.
Excellent. Now, a lot of people would be like, hip hop, Madison, Wisconsin. What the fuck is that?
They be right. What up, white boy?
They call me time.
Why?
100% wasted. Memorized rhymes when my intellect's faded. Eyes crossed, skin white, tongue golden. Honest, if your shit don't say shit, then I'm ghost.
Well, if the rope fits.
Rose petals hold down the focus. I just want bass knocks, no ring around the showbiz.
No.
Middle ground, a bass op and hopeless. Hoping I'm potent enough for instrumentals flying lotus. Halfway between pipe dreams and rhyme schemes, I write things, stupid pseudoscientific bindings. Find green like the smoke's gonna save ya. All those loose leaf weed rappers better on paper.
Clever.
It ain't 666. Nah, it's just simple tricks. Kids selling souls so they can rap mediocre.
That's a thing now.
Sacrificing chickens for thankful wishing. Big man snapping zygomatic calcium deficiency. Fresher than the dead of winter, pulling off some rumple mitts. Open knuckles busted. 2 a.m. ruffian. Left the door open, now you watch the trouble shuffling. The semi-automatic black magic that you fucking with. There's no eyes in the pyramid. All this privatized money got us all hearing shit. Silly rabbit, Satanists for goth kids, checking if the nails match their coffins. And witches, we're simply victims of interpolitical lip switch that nobody was quite itching to share all the shit with. Ergot priests with a church for a mistress and bitter housewives who like burning up bitches. I just take my opinions, I shove them in a fine point. Black ink babble and I cancel all the white noise. Chin rattles and sink to the 16ths and I stutter. Say yes. I stutter when I speak shit.
I mean, when it comes to that, I don't. My dude Freddy can bend spoons with his mind. But I don't know what he needs all them bent spoons for. Personally, I've never had an occult experience, but I mean, one time I burnt my tongue on a hot Cheeto, though.
And for you, I mean, you've delved into this whole rap thing, or at least the kids like to say, this whole rap thing. But yeah, talk to me a little bit about that. Why rap? Why poetry? Why rap?
The hip-hop element of it is, it's fun to work with. I don't know. It's got a lot of room where you can play around. There's not a lot of rules. So similar to rock and roll, you've got this... almost a fixation with sort of doing things that don't work and then making everybody else kind of go, oh, okay, well, maybe that does. Not to say that that's especially what we're doing, but that's an interesting conduit, you know, to write off of. That's an interesting source where really nothing matters, you know. There's no right way of doing this. There's no rule book, and I guess hip hop is the way to go because the syncopation is quite a bit of fun, and I don't have the thumbs for prog rock.
You don't have the thumbs for prog rock.
Nope, no thumb slapping hammer ons in my future.
All right, not a problem. We can get that for you for next year for Christmas if you really want.
You know, it would take a long time. I might as well just keep going with what I'm doing. In all honesty.
All right, we'll let you keep on doing that then. That's fine. Not a problem. Not like I have any say, because I don't live there. I'm in Virginia. You're in Madison.
So, you know, just put it up on the shelf, and I'll send you tickets when we're opening for Steve Vai or something.
Would you? I'd appreciate that. You're doing this old man a lot world of good. Thank you.
Hopefully. You know, that's, I don't know. We're gonna leave before Steve starts playing, I think.
Okay, you might want to, because he takes a while. I mean, you just, yeah, he gets on those solos, and it's an all-night kind of thing. You'll be there till 3 in the morning.
Yeah, we got a Bonamassa concert to get to afterwards, so it's just going to get weird at that point. You know, what do you do?
Well, here's what you do is you guys try to do a tour that you're following Gwar around, okay?
Gwar, yeah.
Yeah. So basically what you are, no, they're following you around. So you get done with your set, and then you drive back to the town behind you where Gwar's playing, and then you get to that town, and then you go see the Gwar show.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, Gwar are aliens, aren't they? So their tour would have interstellar stops, and you know, I can barely afford my car. Right. I don't know how we're going to be doing with interstellar travel here. Yeah, just jump back to the town you were at and say that you're with Gwar. And they're like, yeah, you're like 90 pounds and you're not wearing tentacles. So that you might be in a bit of trouble there. You got to play it. That's where the method acting comes in handy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You got to pull that method acting out of your ass. Start doing it like a little Al Pacino there, right?
any tips you got for me, Mr. Pacino, I will definitely take them.
Well, my first tip is you have a car, correct?
Correct, sir.
All right. So what I want you to do is I want you to go to your car after you've had that wonderful pizza that you're going to order after this interview, okay? That you're going to order through Skype on the Twitter, because that's how the
I only Skype my pizzas here. I Skype my pizzas through Twitter. They say there's an app for it, and I say, no, I want to talk to a human being. And then they get the pizza all pimped out and good to go.
Yeah. Because you got to get it squared away. You got to get the right sauce in it. And it's got to be the sauce that was made 3 weeks ago, not yesterday, 3 weeks ago, and they keep that shit in the back, and they don't want you to, they don't want to tell anybody about it. But if you talk to Julio, Julio will hook your ass up.
Yeah, Julio's my boy.
Yeah, yeah. I used to be a roommate of Julio's. Okay. It's one of those things. If you're a roommate of Julio, you're in. You're in.
You delivered pizzas back in the day, didn't you? You were pizza. You delivered pizzas.
I delivered pizzas for Little Caesars. That's why I was a little upset with the whole Domino's thing.
Okay, all right.
That's why you're killing your uncle here, your favorite uncle. And I have you on tape saying I'm your favorite.
I can call up. We'll do another one of these at some point in time. I'm going to call up Domino's. I'm going to get them on the horn. And then we'll see if we can't work out some sort of friendly disarmament here.
So we're talking about the hip hop. Again, I'm sounding like an old ass bastard and all that shit. We're talking about the hip hop. We're talking about how it speaks to you, the syncopation, the lack of rules, I guess, is what attracts you to it. You can make it up as it goes. I don't want to say it's a relatively new art form.
Been around for quite some time.
Because it's not. But the rules aren't so entrenched. There is some history to it. There's some things that you need to, you know, nod back to and acknowledge. But it seems to be a little bit more accepting and fluid, especially where you're at, because it's not as entrenched as in, say, like just a few miles down the road from you in Chicago or New York or L.A. or Atlanta, where if you tried to do the same stuff that you're doing right now in Madison, you know, somebody might take offense to what you're doing.
It could be. I don't know about offense. Offense is pretty it's not the kind of thing that we wake up and we're like, all right, you know, are we going to offend anybody with this? They're creative out gambles in hip hop. You know, the stuff that we're doing is with doing the writing for it is much more poetry centric, drawing on a lot of old themes and combining them with new symbols. I've got a bit of a soft spot for that lately. I'm not sure what the deal is, but I don't know. I think the only way to get offended on it is if you're a different kind of practicing Buddhist and it wasn't too, it wasn't your wheel, you know? But yeah, it's fun as of now to, kind of take old symbols, put them with new concepts. I wrote a track a little while back, called If the Birds Don't Eat Their Wings. And it's about, sort of this pay to play barter system. Turns out all the gods are real and they're back, but you know, they don't really care. It's just sort of commiserating, I guess. And so, you know, there's Kataragama doing this and that, and so and so is moving the waves back and forth, and you know, it's incredible, sure, but is it really incredible if you can't update your Twitter and, you know,
right,
get a selfie with them? So it's sort of that, yeah, divine mixed with the mundane, and I kind of like that. It seems more human.
Ravaged from damaged lands
and from the ashes.
New astrologies. Paint your high horse xenophanies. Thousand palm butterfly slap cannot knock the high tides back.
What the fuck does that mean?
I guess the mutiny got to me.
The answer is yes.
Well, yeah, it's gotta be. Distance from the prototype like whiplash on a motorbike. Balancing my endgame on the basilar membrane. Cobain-style crosshatcher, prescription-fueled thought catcher. Dystopian proclivities, the apocalypse left us with room for activities.
Comet just kept getting closer.
I thought God was supposed to be here by now.
I thought God was supposed to be here by now.
I thought God was supposed to be here by now.
I thought God was supposed to be here by now.
I thought God was supposed to be here by now.
100 years of pestilence, the locust swarm, the sense of this. The lotus eater. meters slept through their ringtones. Little interest, no big tomes.
I'm just trying to get home.
Vishnu's lost ligaments bloom upon the dissonance in thick bones. Sink to the inner strings of me. Blink and they're stretched as thin as strings can be. Now vibrate and fucking sing to me. Underwater, with only you and I and Poseidon to confide in. Head of a lion, body of a riverbed. Dreams of a sheep skeleton, I crack the skull and let him in. I don't need saving, Mary Magdalene. I just need a safe inhabitants. Kissing the six rings of the mayfly is not what I live or plan my day by. Stacking rocks by the wayside. I thought God would have been here by now.
I thought God would have been here by now.
I thought God would have been here by now.
I really thought God would have been here by now.
I thought God would have been here by now. I thought God would have been here by now. I thought God would have been here by now. 78 milligrams of phosphorus in sacrificial offerings. Find the water gardens just to put my coffin in if the birds don't eat their wings or get lost with it.
Listeners out here, you know, they run their regular 9-to-5 jobs and they go, man, that's really great for Ethan. I bet you he's doing this 24/7 living the dream. Is that the case? Are you doing this 24/7?
Stepping it up. Around here, it's a little difficult. There's not much opportunity. It's there, you know. But it's who knows? You know, we play well with others and everything, but the image that goes along with hip hop, not even here but anywhere, is a little tricky. Differentiating it from rap almost entirely is in what I try to do. Hip hop being a bit more conscious and experimental and sort of, you know, growing, evolving, changing as it was originally meant to do. Empowering is a huge concept that I feel has been kind of lost lately, sort of straying away. How does Saul Williams put it a certain way? Telegraph, that track that he did, he said that people are straying too far away from the source of the microphone. And in more or less words, it gets tougher to hear yourself that way. So how do you stick with a consistent message? So that's kind of working forward stuff for us, and we are trying to take it places, but it's something that, for as raw as it is to be handled as a, you know, a delicacy as well. It can be fragile and it can be confusing. And at this point, we're not going to be doing any more shows until we have new stuff to perform. Nobody wants to go out and hear the same things over and over. People want to feel like they're growing with you, and we've got a lot of growing to do, and we want to take people with. So, we're going to be doing that, when we have new things. But for right now, it's involving a bit of investment, a bit of working backwards, you know, with how crazy things are and, sort of seeing where things are really coming from.
Gotcha. And, you know, working with people's schedules and life choices and family issues and all that kind of jazz, that can be kind of a tough thing for an artist to handle and to manage, just dealing with life as it happens.
Exactly. It can be. Yeah. But, you know, if it's something that you're going to do, you know, you got to jump into it 110%, and everything else is, you know, temporary. So
I got you. Well, that's why I work the day job, so that way I can go ahead and do all this kind of fun stuff at nighttime and leave a little legacy for the children back at home.
Exactly. You gotta carve your name in stone.
Absolutely. And I'm carving my name in stone in this electronic stone universe that we like to call podcasting. So, Ethan, let's talk.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk a little bit about stuff that you're doing in Chicago.
Mm.
Specifically, And this relates to a couple episodes back. We talked to Ramon Chavez and Nelson Velasquez from Cell Station. And we also talked with Ken Reed a few episodes ago about the whole poetry slam kind of thing.
Absolutely.
The Word Up Poetry Slam experience. Now, a person like yourself that's in the hip-hop scene and all that, how was that experience for you, kind of combining the poetry aspect of it and then combining performance aspect of it, combining an improv aspect of it?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I don't know. I'm not obviously the authority on this. Those guys know way better than I do, because one of my favorite things about going down there was getting my ass handed to me. There's some incredible poets down there, and as soon as you get your throat cut down there, you really start to sort of change the way that you're doing things. You don't walk into shows the same way. As of currently, with down there, it was a lot of fun. I got to meet some other people that were doing the same things, and it's really greatly reflected the slams that I've got up here. But more so, it's reflected the lack of slams. After that, the process of refinement became very, very serious, and with something hip hop oriented, something very stream of consciousness. Doing that down there, pretty much stopped, gave that up. There's a really big correlation between having to rap and then having to freestyle. And, you've got to have chops with both to an extent. But I think one of the things that's changing, especially with like the SoundCloud community, is people are getting threatened because, when it comes to the kind of things that come out more popularly nowadays, the lyrical quality is doing what it's doing. It's, in my opinion, decreasing, but that is what it is. Depends on where you look, really, because there's a lot of people that are out there working hard and, expanding the lexicon, but it takes a while to catch. There's a big correlation between this necessity to be able to operate off of a stream of consciousness, and that's easy. If you can make it rhyme, then that's great. But it can be just as freeform as anybody else's art. It seems kind of counterproductive if you're going to put something into a structure. Then why not? Why not invest into that, which has been my opinion lately. So the freestyling has been very slim to none. I'm working on creating something that's a little more it's got more flavor to it, as opposed to simply dishing out a bunch of bland burgers. Gosh. Which is not a reflection on hip hop in general. It's just one of those things that I've personally got to do.
Gotcha. Now, what kind of fuels that creativity that's pushing your hip hop, that's pushing your message? And, let's really delve into that. Yeah, my personal guess that what's fueling your creativity is coffee. And I'm not just talking regular coffee. I'm not talking just, pop on a Mr. Coffee and put on the timer and knock that bad boy out. I'm talking French press coffee.
Oh, I would talk French press coffee with you too, but I'm too busy spending the 4 years that you have to invest. What you have to do is you have to pray for 2 years. Yeah. And then as soon as your spirit is clean, then you have to lay in a tub for another year. And then your body will be clean, and then you get out in your big mushy raisin. And then as soon as your body and soul are pure, then you can begin training to use the French press. And the important part about that is if you do it wrong, then you're going to have a lot of angry hipsters. They're not going to be happy with you. What were you saying about the Mr. Coffee? You want to just do that instead of having to slay the dragon? And
we can do the Mr. Coffee. That's actually, I have a Black & Decker coffee maker that also grinds it, times it and gives me three different settings. If I want just a nice mellow setting, a midday setting, or a, you know, balls to the wall, I got to be up in 2 seconds and kill about 27 people. That setting on my Black & Decker coffee maker.
There we go. Now that's how you make coffee. French press, great. You're going to get a good cup of coffee. But that's the first thing you have to do in the morning. So how are you going to do that? How are you going to wake up and be like, okay, I'm ready to cleanse my mind and my body, and then I have to go through a giant medieval holy process, this rigorous plan, you know, just to get like a little baby cup of coffee, a little guy that you sip on for a second, and then you go about your day. What's going on with that?
So you need to devote an entire day. If you're going to do the French press coffee, you got to devote the entire day. Back when I was living in Chicago, living in my studio apartment, Sundays were my day, where if you came to my apartment, you're drinking goddamn French press coffee.
That makes sense. I can see that.
If you didn't drink coffee, I was throwing you off the fifth story balcony. You just didn't come to my house. You didn't call me. You didn't email me. If you aren't going to drink French press coffee, you don't fucking email me. And I had a lot of email marketers get a call from me. And then I went and visited them out in California and set fire to their family because they interrupted my Sunday tradition, which started off with doing laundry in the morning. That way you can cleanse all your clothes before you even start the French press.
The cops just stopped showing up. Like, what are you going to do? You know, they just called the street cleaners at that point. They're like, yeah, it's Sunday. Go ahead.
Exactly. They're just like, you know what? They fucked with Tim and that's it. They fucked with Tim. They took their life in their own hands. We got nothing. We got nothing on this. We don't fuck with them. And look, we're walking around, do-do-do-do-do. You don't fuck with them, you're good to go.
We can't get in. He's 12 feet tall. We can't keep him in a cell. What are we going to do with him? He's a killing machine. You can't put him behind bars that can hold him.
His fucking vocal cords got wrapped around his ankles, and he still does podcasts. Fuck you. Fuck you and your family. Fuck you.
Pretty much. That's the long short of it right there.
Anyways, we were talking about your inspiration. What are you feeding off of? What's putting the words into your head? What's putting the images and the ideas into your head?
It's any number of different places. I don't know. So it's confusing. You know what I mean? It's not, I feel like if somebody's drawing from someplace entirely, then maybe, you know, it's, from entirely one spot might not be the best idea. I don't really understand, where a lot of it comes from. Some of the more story oriented stuff, I'm just along for the ride. I don't even know how that's going to end. And it's a lot of fun to write every once in a while. Wrote a track a while back called Betty Had a Baby. And through the process of writing that, you know, it was just, it was like a torch got lit. I didn't know how things were going to end. It was a story about how, it's got a number of characters. Two of them have a baby. One of them moves out to California for a rap deal. The other, stays in Detroit and raises her daughter, while struggling with a drug addiction. And, I'm not going to spoil the ending, but it was a lot of fun to write. I wasn't sure where anything was even going to end up. So
I got you.
Sometimes that's the case. Sometimes it's just a juxtaposition thing. It's putting, you know, a couple of things together, like taking an old theme and then applying it to something very simple, some mundane daily process. You know, like how does Shiva get ready in the morning? You know, that kind of thing. You've got a lot of things to do, but you've got a ton of arms to do them. So I imagine that her morning routine is probably, she's got French press time.
She got mad French press time.
I don't know if Shiva's neutral or not. No, Shiva can change, right? I think
Shiva can change. Yes.
All right. There you go. Yeah. Okay. No, I'm just thinking about the Kali thing and that's, yeah. Cause Shiva got a total boner.
Yeah.
In that one, so. Must be partly masculine, at least.
Shiva lived on the third floor of my studio apartment.
Oh, dope.
Yeah, no, she was not directly below me. She was facing Wrigley Field, but she lived third floor.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Now, Kali was my next door neighbor. And Kali, she was the one that would throw people off the fifth. Well, I blamed her for throwing the people off the fifth floor by a balcony for interrupting the coffee.
Yeah, absolutely. No, the very loud neighbors would not recommend living next to them.
Yeah, no. Yeah, the landlord said, hey, Kali lives up there. And I'm like, yeah, fuck, whatever. It's not a problem.
Yeah, it was weird smell coming out of her apartment. They had to go check, and it was heads, turns out. It was just heads.
Just heads. These things happen. You know, these things happen. When you throw
it was tastefully arranged. I mean, there was a coffee table, nice, you know, like Amish furniture. Beautiful, decadent furniture.
Oh,
but at the same time, they're not just strewn all over the place. I mean, they're where they're supposed to be. And sometimes, it gets a little messy. But it's, you know, at least I know where my stuff is, that kind of thing. They weren't just heads all over the place. You got to give her some credit. But
exactly.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of fucking heads, though.
There was, yeah, they were tastefully placed. It was some thought went to, you know, they're just not a stack of heads. You know, there was a mathematical process that she used.
When they were organized for comfort.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, I had a great time over there. Yeah, absolutely. You know, sometimes you get bored in the conversation. You look over at a head. You start talking to that head. You know?
Yeah.
It was never a boring time over at Colleague's place. Never.
No.
Oh, God, yeah.
Always something to talk about.
Well, we could go on that one, but I think we got to move on, just because the DA I know wants to talk to you later on today.
Fair, yeah.
I remember you said you're going to head up there after you get your pizza. So
I got a fight coming up at the DA, so I got to carb up, get that pizza, and then I'm throwing on the gloves, doing my warm ups, and then it's throwdown season, buddy.
Okay, just. Don't order any drinks, okay? Just don't order any drinks at the DA, okay?
Okay, fair. Right, well, just one to calm the nerves. No, I don't know. What?
Drink on the way. Take a Ooh. Drink with you on the way. May I recommend a nice rum and Coke, please?
I mean, I'm going to do a whiskey and Coke, but I'll meet you halfway there.
Okay. All right, do the Coke. And then drink whatever.
Perfect.
There you go. All right. So, Ethan.
Yes, sir.
Where can we find your shit? Because I know you got shit all over the internet. Where can we find you?
Right now, we're looking at SoundCloud. It's a bit of a basic platform, but I kind of like it. It's a nice place to start. It's going to be soundcloud.com/makewordsrhyme. And the project is called Think Tank. It's a sort of inclusive loners project.
Gotcha. Inclusive loners. I like it.
Yeah, Think Tank's the name.
All right. And you've already said that you guys are not like taking a hiatus kind of thing, but you're regaining your strength, getting some inspiration, and getting ready for the next project, right?
Yeah, getting a whole new set list started up. We had the ones we've done in the past have been anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour, but we're getting tired of, playing the same things. And, you know, you got to work with real life a little bit, and you have to, there's some that you definitely have to love and you have to make time for. But, I've got maybe 5-6 things ready to go, so hopefully we'll be able to fill up another 45 minutes to an hour, and then we'll have that sort of conscious level to start being able to, you know, do things that we're experimenting with again, and sort of we're celebrating and figuring out, and not just jumping up and, you know, doing an hour of material.
Gotcha. So it's going to be, you know, 45 minutes an hour of material that you guys feel passionate about, that you guys really want to present to the audience.
Some things that are open to interpretation. You know what I mean? Some things that are they're not – as refined as they should be. They're not as, you know, I like that. I enjoy that. There's no shit. I almost did this interview with the door open because there's a cat running around outside and even getting that noise in the background. I understand that that'd be a nightmare for you to try and noise cancel out, like profile that and get rid of. But the organic aspect of it, you know, is nice. There's this detachment with a lot of one of the things I'm not really a big fan of art wise. And I've been feeling lately and I don't know how to combat is, there's a detachment from the finished product and what goes into it. Maybe that's what you invest into it, but this organic feeling, you know, this feeling of this isn't, you know, this isn't just a podcast that somebody listens to, you know, like I'm sitting right here. You're sitting right here. We're talking. There's, you know, there's all kinds of processes going on both ends. And then the person listening to it makes a third party, and trying to incorporate that into beats and things as well is another thing that I've been doing. Taking, you know, crickets, what have you, phone conversations, and then reversing them, speeding them up twice as fast as they should be, adding some really strange pre-delay, whatever, flange it, cut out the bass, and then throw it almost subliminally over the tops of things. Just sort of this, there's this really weird organic filament that I've been chasing. And I want that to happen in a show as well. I don't want it to, you know, I don't want people to show up and watch. I want people to show up and, you know, feel like a part of the room, you know.
Good deal. Yeah, because we go to so many shows where we just stand there and accept the noise that's thrown at us, the images and all that, and we just sit there in our receptacles.
Entirely.
I remember a few, a bunch of years back, we went and saw Saul Williams in Chicago.
Saul Williams, yeah.
And he would get irritated with the audience because so many people were receptacles. Now, unfortunately, I was a receptacle at that show because I busted my ankle on the way to get there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Shit. Yeah, that's true. I kind of had a bit of the same thing going. And it's not to, you know, it's not to say that you can't. I mean, if you're going to be taking things in like that, then you should start, a garden. You should be refining the, you know, it's like an ecosystem. If you're going to be, you have to be careful of what you let in and what you don't. If you know that that's how you do things, and if that's how you create, if that's your big step is bringing in information, not only do you have to have, you know, the right stuff and then be able to cut out the wrong stuff, the things that are going to kill the, you know, so that this bird doesn't eat this fish and then all of a sudden you've got an extinction on your hands. You need a well working unit, you know, you need an environment itself. And like, that's good. Everybody's got their own little, terrarium, but you know, every once in a while things do get a little thrown off, I guess. Yeah.
You got to throw up some elbows, knock over some doors, knock over some tables, and have a little fun and get a little rambunctious.
Yeah, or just be comfortable with the stuff that you got. Those little fine bacterias that you can raise and, you know, watch them grow up and go to college.
There you go.
That's what my parents did.
There it is. And I got two of them that are just waiting for me upstairs. Oh, my God. I'm a parent.
Yeah, they're big now.
Ooh. They're huge. Oh, yeah, those babies are huge. They run this house. I even thought I ran this house at one point in my life.
Oh, hell no. They're already starting for the Blackhawks. You kidding me?
Dude, I'm telling you, one of them's going to be a goalie. One of them's going to be a right winger. And they ain't going to have three teeth between them.
They're going to have that weird twin shit going on, too, where they're not even going to have to talk. They're just going to be able to look at each other and be like, yeah, no, I got this.
Well, I don't know how big you are into hockey, but there's the Sedin brothers, and they're twins. And they're just like, they've been, you know, in hockey for years. They don't even talk to each other on the ice. It's just a psychic link that they have, and they're fucking devastating. But that's what's going to happen with the girls. I'm just saying.
You want me to tell you what I know about hockey?
What do you know about hockey?
All right, ready?
Yep.
Wayne Gretzky. Okay. Mullets.
Yes.
Hat trick.
Hat trick, yes.
It's cold. So hockey is important to me, and those four things are Those are very important to me. You miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. You know who said that?
Who said that?
Wayne Gretz, WG, Wayne Gretzky. Those are the five things that I know about hockey. I know those things and that Wayne Gretzky said one thing one time.
All right, there you go. Folks, we've got a real Renaissance man right here.
Swiss Army knife.
There you go. All right, so it comes to the point in the show where we got to do the Satanic Seven.
Oh, yeah, we've been going for a long time. I've just been having a good time.
Well, that's what it's all about.
I keep having to remind myself this isn't just a phone, you know, this isn't a phone call. We're on other people's time here. Like, yes. they're doing stuff. They got this on while they're cooking or something. And
people want to know these Satanic Seven questions. They want to know. I do need to ask, because this is a new year. We're kind of doing a new leaf. And in the last show of 2018, my guest, which was my comic book guy, Mike Porter, he's a pagan, so he doesn't do the whole Satanic Seven thing. Well, we called it the Solstice Seven for him. So do you mind if I call it the Satanic Seven for you?
I'm an atheist. You do whatever the hell you want.
All right.
Pagan, yeah, I'm not a pagan. I'll put it
not a pagan.
I only know one joke about neo-paganism, and that is if you stick six neo-pagans in a room, you get 12 gods and none of them know each other.
I like it. You are correct, sir. Mm. That's.
But awesome. I do got to get on his good side, though, because I'm trying to get that new Black Monday Murders came out on the 6th. Ooh, today's the... Oh, yes, I got to talk to your comic book guy.
Yes.
Maybe I shouldn't have alienated him with the, the neo-pagan joke. That may have been a little...
No.
Who knows?
Okay. Well, his comic book store closed December 31st, 2017.
Gotcha. Yeah,
but that's okay. We'll get you hooked up with him. Not a problem.
Oh, but he's still a comic book guy, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
he's still,
store
yeah.
can close, but the heart stays open.
Oh, yeah. The heart is definitely open. The heart is definitely open. You got it. All right. Are you ready for your quasi-satanic seven questions?
Let's get it. Sway in the morning. Five fingers of death. Wrap it around. It's hot. It's lit. Air horns. Bam, 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 bam. Yeah, let's get it.
Okay, here we go.
Sounds good.
You made me want to say flip it up, smack it down. Oh, wait. God, Bill Biv DeVoe. Flip it, smack it, rub it down. Oh, no, I need a body bag. Ah, damn, I'm old. Okay.
Yeah, that is kind of a deep cut, isn't it?
That is a deep cut, man. That is deep.
All right, here we go.
Here we go. Question number one. Do you keep or archive your early work, and if so, why?
I keep my early work I do archive it in the garbage can, and then the city just archives it for me.
So eventually, at some point, you'll be able to go in the city dump and dig it up?
Optimistically, yeah.
Okay. Right.
But there's a lot of garbage in there. There's a lot of wrappers, you know. The it's with it being SoundCloud, you know, you're able to kind of keep what you want and then get rid of what you don't want. And we don't try to, at least speaking for myself, I don't try to hold on to things for too long. As long as you can remember the words, you're probably good. And if you don't remember the words, then you got to ask yourself if you really need to. So it's nice to keep to see where you're coming from. But in terms of archiving, everything's digital. And then in terms of the analog stuff, that's mostly just remembering your words. And if you don't need to or you don't want to, then that probably tells you something.
Gotcha. Well, I'm going to give you a point on that. So now...
Oh, that's right. This is graded, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, this is
shit,
graded.
I should have read these questions. This is a fucking quiz, dude. Hold on.
Dude, this is a fucking quiz. I don't fucking
cheat. I'm a cheat. Hang on. I got to go into Google real quick. Okay, Google.
All right, while you're going into Google, I'm just going to remind everybody. All right, so the Satanic Seven questions are a group of questions that I came up with, and I was the first one to go through the questions. I got 3 right out of 7, okay? I created the questions. I got 3 right out of fucking 7. I don't know how that happened. We have had perfect scores. We have had more than perfect scores on the Satanic Seven questions. So while Ethan's getting ready, I just want to let you all know that we do grade these, and we do grade them based on the response from the Twitter feed that we get that is not actually happening while the people are answering the questions, but comes 3.5 days later, and it tells me what to grade on, and then I get sent a text message on a cell phone that I've got buried in my backyard as to if I give the points or not. So if that's clear to you, we'll continue on with the questions. Ethan, are you ready for your next question?
Satanic 7. Satanic, yes. 7.
Yes.
Absolutely. All now right. I'm getting pumped. See, this is good. Now I know the rules. I know the stakes. I know you told me that like 3 times, but I forgot it, and I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. That's okay.
Bah.
All right. Question number 2. What do you dislike about the art world?
Oh, fuck.
And I'm not talking my dad art. I'm talking about the art world.
The other day, I was going through a magazine. I picked it up, and I was going through it. It was some modern art magazine. And there was a guy who I can't remember his name. I can remember what he looks like. He's got this shit-eating grin. And he'll take, I don't know what the fuck it is, oil paints, I guess. He'll take oil paints and he'll do a line on a white canvas. And that was it for me. No, this dude had 5-6 pages of just various juxtaposed lines on separate pieces that apparently are selling. Old Russians, I'm assuming, love them, which... have a blast, bud. At the same time, if I have to hear one more person putting a line on a canvas or like, sticking an air conditioner in the middle of the room and then saying that they're abstracting some sort of modern theme, I'm going to eat my fucking feet off. I don't want to be able to get out of the house. I want people to bring my food to me, which is why I'm going to be calling Domino's after this and getting a pizza. I don't understand why people are abstracting things and then apparently throwing a line on a piece of canvas. No, wait, hold on. Tim.
Yes.
This is catharsis right here. Art is apparently supposed to invoke a response, right? I don't know that, but that's what important people tell me.
Yeah.
I'm responding. I'm pissed off. My hair's standing up.
But what do you dislike about the art?
You know, I guess I don't get it. I enjoy making art and I enjoy the abstraction of it, but I don't understand what the, why people would want to put a value on something that is like, here's a line on a piece of paper. Maybe there's some craft to it. I don't know. Maybe that's visually art centric, but, whatever it is, it's hilarious. And now I want to pay $50,000 for a line on foil on canvas.
Okay. Is that your final answer?
No, I'm going to go with C. Can I change it?
You can change it.
I'm going to change it to C if that works for you.
Okay. So you're changing all that to C.
Yeah, what I don't like about the art world, that whole big part in the beginning, go ahead, you take that, and you get rid of that. You cut that out for the post. You take Audacity, you isolate all that, and just get rid of it. And you change all that to C, if you don't mind.
Not a problem. Done and done.
Thank you.
You got that question wrong.
Fuck.
Yeah. It's okay.
It wasn't C?
It wasn't C.
All right.
I know you're shocked because in college, when I was doing class, when I was teaching classes, I would make it a point to make the most ridiculous answer, BC, be correct. And usually C is correct. Unfortunately, I have triple outsmarted myself on this one. And which has unfortunately screwed you out of getting a perfect score.
Screwed the pooch.
That's okay though. There's ways to get more than a point per question.
It was because I was talking shit about modern art, wasn't it?
Well, I'm a big fan of Rothko, so.
Oh, okay. Well, tell him I said hi.
I definitely will. I'll let him know that his shit that makes me cry when I go and see it in the gallery. No, that's, hey, you know what though? That is a valid valid reaction. You are correct. That's your reaction to what you see there. Okay?
And that's there you valid. Go.
And the average, you know, Joe Blow on the street may have that same reaction. Somebody listening to this podcast may go, Rothko, that's fucking lines on a canvas. What the fuck is that? But for some people, the story behind it and everything, you know, it's not just the lines on the canvas. It's the story behind it. It's
true.
The impression that happened behind it. But that's hard. That information is hard to get when you're just looking at the canvas, when all you have is the canvas in front of you. And you're like, what the fuck? Why is this $100,000?
See, that I get. But the question is, where does the image start and the story stop? With Rothko, it's a different story. But then if somebody's going to, you know, make a painting of whatever, you know, like two shows that they watched when they were kids and then slap them together. And then all of a sudden that's modern art. I don't get it. That's more like Warhol-ian to me. You know what I mean?
Oh,
I dug Warhol. I just didn't get Warhol. Like, I'd have a fucking beer with Warhol, but, you know, I don't want to stare at a can of soup all day. Nope. No, thank you. Gotcha. That's fine.
Not a problem.
Art is hard, dude.
Hard. Which leads me to question number 3.
Oh, sweet. How's that for a segue?
That's a great segue. Question number 3. Why art?
You have to.
You have to.
You gotta.
Yeah.
That's about it. Plain and simple.
Plain and simple. You just gotta fucking do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's too expensive.
I don't know. I can get it pretty cheap. I get my meth pretty cheap from the VA.
My dentists love me.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, you know, what you're doing is when you're doing the meth, you're spreading the wealth out to everybody else. Because your teeth go to shit, your veins go to shit, and you're helping other people out.
Yeah, that's where that old chestnut, spread the meth, comes from.
Spread the meth. Spread the meth.
Oh, that took a weird turn. Yeah, I'm going to stick with it, though. My first response is to be like, no, let's really get into this. But you know what? With that one, I'm going to go against my good instinct. Because last time I went with my instinct, and I missed out on the point.
Yeah.
And now all the modern artists that are listening to this are going to, you know, they're going to go sit on their chairs that are shaped like electrical sockets or what the fuck ever. And they're going to say, huh, you know. So now I'm going against my gut reaction and I'm going to say my answer is spread the meth. Yeah.
Spread the meth.
And just that's a Rockwell right there. Spread the meth.
Spread the meth. You got the point.
Shit. Yeah.
You got the point.
Hey, I'm killing it.
I gotta
brag a little bit.
Hell yeah. All right. So
nobody can hear me. Nobody's home, I don't think. Shit, I gotta sit here and brag to myself. All right, that's fine. Hey, no, I'm good. I'm good. Hey,
that's question number 3. So you got 2 right, 1 wrong. Not bad. Mm-hmm. Not bad. Okay. Nelson, if you remember, way back in episode 1, he got 5 out of 7. Okay.
I'm just going for. I'm going to be happy if I get through these, man.
Okay. No, you're going to get through kicking and screaming. I'm going to bring you through this like I always do.
Oh, somebody must be. 1, I totally appreciate that. 2, I think somebody is home because they're making toast. They just don't. Or somebody's making toast. They just don't care that I'm in here slaying it. They better share some of that toast. All right, we're good. Question. We're doing. The Beelzebub Bunch. The Asmodeus Askums.
Oh, my God. There we go.
There we go.
All right. Question number 4. Now, this one tricks a lot of people.
This one, I actually got the answer key for, and I wasn't going to say it until right now, but let's see how you feel about that.
Oh, you got the answer key? You got the answer key.
Just for this question, and afterwards, I'm going to burn it in the house.
You're probably going to need to.
Yeah.
If you throw yourself at the ground and miss, what are you doing? And how do you continue to accomplish this seemingly impossible task?
If you throw yourself at the ground and miss, then you're living in a world without mass or gravity. And then in order to do that, you got to come back. You got to wake up. because that's two. That's pretty Lovecrafty. Can't be there. No, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't really like that question. that's such a big question. That's huge. Like, what? Yeah. Who knows? Yeah, that one's I don't know, gravity, physics. Well, I'll try to think of something clever for that. I didn't get the answer key for that one. It must have been for a different one.
Yeah, no, you didn't.
That's a question for Bill Nye. That's not a question for me. I'm a musician.
That's, but you know me. How long have I known you? How many years have I known you?
A gentleman does not tell.
Okay, you should know the answer to this question.
That one I don't. I saw the other trick question though. Okay. Real. I saw that one. Okay. This one,
I got no clue.
Oh, no clue.
I can't give you the points for this one. I can't.
I forfeit the points, and then you can you can have those points. Use them to get some nice.
Okay.
So I'm gonna donate those points on the to the Association for Sleepless Fathers.
Okay. Oh, thank you so much.
That question, I forfeit question four.
All right. So four, you have forfeited. Two right, two wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. You can still pull this out. You've got to get one more right to tie me, okay?
Shit. Okay.
So I think you can do it, though. I think you can do it. All right. Question number five. Can art be defined for everyone? Should art be defined for everyone?
Oh.
So first off, can it be defined? Second off, should it be defined?
Art, I mean, yeah, I'm sure that at some point, I mean, no. Oh, damn it. That's a hard one. Come on now. I'm sure I don't want to give you the wrong answer, but I also don't want to give you the right answer. So I'm going to go ahead and do this right here. No, the expression or application of human creative skill and imagination, typically in a visual form such as painting or sculpture, producing works to be appreciated primarily for their beauty or emotional power. Example, the art of Renaissance, the various branches of creative activity such as painting, music, literature, and dance is included. Crumping is my answer. Art should be defined as everybody for crumping, taking up room on the floor, coming out of the Bay Area. It's big. E-40 doesn't have any dreads, but he's planning on growing some. And I think that takes forward thought. And I appreciate his perspective. And so I'm going to give it to crumping.
Crumping. Okay. So art should be defined for everyone.
It should be defined as crumping. And then it should be defined. Two, it should be defined as crumping. And three, all forms, regardless of medium of arts, are to be, related back to crumping, and then based upon their authenticity with that, suddenly that is your system for establishing art. Yeah. At least in terms of payment. If you want to get paid, then you gotta give the people what they want. And it turns out what the people want is crumping. So at least that's what Google Dictionary had to say.
Okay, excellent.
I'm using a lifeline, Google Dictionary. That's it.
And that's your excuse.
Excellent. Crumping. Yes. Crump clown, party on down.
Done. Point and a half.
Hell yeah. What?
Point and a half.
Statistically, that's no, never mind. Hang on. I was thinking of a joke that somebody told me the other day, and it wasn't funny, so I'm just not going to tell it.
Okay, maybe we'll get that joke later on.
I'll think about it, and I'll let you know.
Let me know about that. So, you're at three and a half right. You're at three and a half right.
Yeah.
Question number six. What is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow? And if possible, can you show your work?
Don't even play with me, man. Come on.
Airspeed velocity, unladen swallow, show your work.
How am I supposed to answer that without asking another question? That involves another question. That's the is it carrying a coconut?
Yes, it is.
It is?
Wait. It's an unladen swallow. So that means it's not carrying a coconut.
It's unladen.
unladen, so you were asking the wrong question.
That's true. It's not a matter of where it grips it. It is unladen.
Unladen. So the coconut does not even come into any kind of a reality, time stream, or mathematical equation. That is not the question you should be asking, because you already know it's an unladen swallow. What is the question you should be asking me?
Listen, I don't answer questions like that, man. That's goofy. This is I'm doing. This is the hard hitting questions here.
Yes,
it's a hard hitting interview, and the only the type of person that would ask a question like that has a mother who is probably a hamster and a father that smells of elderberries. I can't get involved in that. I'm here for the serious questions.
The serious question. That is a serious question. I need to know if mathematically you can handle being an artist. And there is a question about that. There is a question brought by my listeners that they want to know that the people that we're talking to mathematically can be an artist. Because artists get a bad rap for not being good mathematicians.
Oh, so, that's 100%. Oh shit. I couldn't tie my shoes with a calculator.
Well, that's a good thing. I'm glad you can't tie your shoes with a calculator, because the calculator doesn't have any fingers.
See, that's how bad at math I am. There you go.
There you go. So, airspeed, velocity, unladen swallow. Your question should be...
Oh, fuck. I have to play the whole thing back in my head. Coconuts.
Yes.
Running, grassy knoll.
That's right.
Frenchman, he poos on you.
Go back to the grassy knoll. Where's the grassy knoll? It's in Dallas.
It's in front of the castle. And then they cruise up on their not horses.
Yes.
And then they say that they want to come in. And he tells them off. They ask about the swallow. The swallow's unladen. It doesn't have a coconut. Fuck, I'm not going to remember. I haven't seen it in long enough.
Where are they? Where are they? When all
they're in France, aren't they?
Well, I thought they were. They're in England.
They're in England with but it's a French castle.
Well, no, they're in England because the French have invaded England.
Oh shit! Yes. Yeah, it's John Cleese up in what do they call that? A portcullis? Yes. Is that it?
That's it. It's in portcullis.
Yeah, it's John Cleese up in the portcullis.
What continent are they on?
What continent?
What continent are they on?
Well, that'd be Europe. But okay. Great Britain's part of Europe. It's an island, but would be Europe.
It's part of the European continent.
Do they ask where the swallow came from?
Is
that what it is? Do they say, is it a European or an African swallow?
Yes, that is the question that you need to come back with.
Oh, damn. Well, don't give me the points for that, because I didn't get that on my own. I haven't seen that movie in a little while, but
I know.
Hey, still, those are points that I'm donating to...
Oh, no. Oh, no, I'm not letting you donate anymore. We're going to continue on with this question.
Okay.
You're going to answer it. I'm going to help you. Kicking or screaming, you're going to do it like I help you with everything else. All right. I'm feeling a little like Tyler Durden here, okay? So.
You're sounding a little like Tyler Durden. You got a gravelly, mysterious thing going.
You should see the mink coat that I have on right now.
Yeah, I believe it. I'm lost. I remember it, but I haven't thought about it in so long is the problem.
Understood. So we're gonna do this question again. You're going to respond back to me with the correct question, and then we will answer it together. Okay.
All right. Walk me through it. I'm strapping on the water wings.
Okay. What is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow? And if possible, show me your work. To which you reply.
So that depends, Tim. Is it a African swallow or is it a European swallow?
Neither. Canadian. That's how I get people. Canadian.
Oh.
I'm part French Canadian.
There you go. All right.
So when I get a smart ass... that knows Monty Python, I throw that curveball at him.
Oh, you set him up to knock him down.
Exactly.
Man, you just ushered me right into the trough.
I did. I took you by the back of your head, and I put you right in the pig trough and shoved your face in it.
All right, I'll see you in Collie's apartment.
There you go. Come on. Come on, let's go to Collie's. Let's go to Collie's. And as opposed to LL Cool J's hit song, Going Back to Cali, we're going back to Collie.
Yeah, LL Collie J. That was his Ladies Love Collie Jim.
There you go. Are you ready for your final question?
No, yes, I've been humbled by the process, and I'm ready, and I'm prepared, and I'm terrified. Let's get it on.
But trust me, you're a better person for it. You will remember this forever, because I'm going to send you a copy of the MP3 for Christmas in 2018.
Oh, gee, it's going to be a completely different world by then, too.
I'm hoping so.
All right, here we go.
Question number seven.
Seven.
This is for all the marbles. You got 3.5 right. You've donated points. You've done what nobody else has done.
It's the holiday season, man.
There we go. If money were no object, and if time is no concern, if resources are unlimited, what project would you attempt, first and foremost? Second, all negative factors being eliminated, would you allow this to be the only work you are known by? So I'm waving my magic wand. Whatever one project you want, you got. Don't care what the fuck it is. Now, you got that project. What is it? Is that the only thing that you're known by? Go.
That's an easy one. There's an artist that I listen to pretty regularly, Sufjan Stevens, and he's from Detroit. A while back, he did a series of folk projects, and they can be fun, they can be bouncy, but they can also be very depressing, minimal, down-tempo. He went around different places in Illinois, especially on his Come On Feel the Illinois album. He did an album called Michigan, where he went through different parts of Detroit, northern Michigan. He's got a couple Minnesota tracks thrown in, I think. He's got a couple Wisconsin tracks thrown in, I think. But sort of the rural Midwest is very, very interesting to me. And I would like to go through small towns, things like we've got a up in Rhinelander here, we've got a thing called the Hodag. It doesn't make any sense, but back in, I can't even remember when, it was it must have been the late 1800s, early 1900s. Just this green thing, it's folklore, local folklore, runs around, it's got sharp teeth, it's got horns, it's just this green little devil that goes around, and it's so endeared and beloved that it's like the symbol of this small little what-the-fuck town in the middle of ass-crack nowhere. I really like those kind of things, just sort of the mythology and the camaraderie of local folklore, things like that. Combine it with history, and it's a lot of fun. One of the big things that kind of freaks me out is that, you know, you never get enough time to really master anything. And if you're studying history, then you're working backwards. I mean, every single second that goes past is basically fucking you. Like, it's, oh shit, I gotta, you know, it's an omni event. KRS-One says it's all an omni event. Everything happens at once. So that's what I would do, is I would go around and probably start with poetry, but start with loose hip-hop oriented writing on small folklore things with little forgotten towns in the Midwest. I don't know why. I have a screaming fixation to do that. Go places, read into the really odd mythological quirks that got them to the place that they are, the way that their beliefs have changed off of it, and then not writing something that's entirely non-fictional, so you don't get this, you know, exact retelling as best as you can. You're not going there to get a story. You're not going there to get, you're going there to get a feeling. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And seeing how that changes from different places, and then going out and doing that from state to state to state to state, go out and do like incorporate these little elements, these little mythological elements into everyday problems, like we do with the hip hop music. Little things that, where if you're not from fucking anywhere, if you're not from Tucson, like, I mean, you lived in Arizona, didn't you?
Yeah, I lived in Arizona for a little
while. So what's a little thing that is from there? Like, you know, was there any like local little thing where it's just like, oh shit, everybody knows about that, but if you're not from there, then how would you even know, you know?
Exactly. Like a restaurant or a little historical marker or a place where a battle happened or a place where, well, fuck, Rockford, Illinois, Blood's Point. You know, that's
exactly.
You know, I think you might have even heard of Blood's Point in Rockford, Illinois.
I think I have.
It's a little haunted area just out in the middle of fucking bumfuck Egypt. And every little town, well, not every little town, but every town has some shit like that.
Exactly. And then going through there and then taking things that, you know, are not, they're not contingent on time. You can, you know, you can write hip hop pieces from things that have happened in the past. There's a track called Vietnam, a Vietnam story by Jedi Mind Tricks. That's phenomenal. Time isn't of the essence, you know, removing time from things. Removing money from things, just recounting small little details of small town life, and then trying to find what that has in common with little details on the places where they come from, and then seeing if that means anything at all. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't. Who cares? But you know, I don't have to pay for anything, right?
That's right. You don't have to pay for anything. It's free.
Done. Yeah. All right, no joke answer in that one. I'm just straight up going with that. That is, I would even do that if I had to fucking pay for it. I don't care.
Well, you're gonna do it because you're coming back in season two, and that's gonna be your project.
Oh Jesus!
You just turned yourself into a project.
My God.
We will help you. That's why we're here for it, KDY Podcasting. We will make that happen for you.
It's going to take a lot of reading. I'm going to have to read for easily a couple, maybe a year more, just delving in every day, different parts of time. But, you know, you got to hit it from the right place, and you got to stay someplace. That's the thing that gets me too, is you have to stay someplace for long enough to the point where you're not just relaying something that is, you know, that exists where it's like, oh yeah, they have that over there. You know, that kind of thing. You have to know what it means. You have to have somebody that it means something to, that isn't just trying to keep it in a museum, you know?
Exactly.
That's, yeah, it's tricky. Who knows? I still got to work on that a little bit, but that's, yeah, I'm very, very romanced with that concept.
Excellent. Well, Ethan, you got that question right.
Oh, good, because that would have wasted a lot of time. Gotten it wrong. All right.
You got that question right. So you're at 4.5 out of 7. Respectable. A respectable 4.5 out of 7.
If I got a perfect score, I would have been worried, in all honesty. Oh, sorry. All right, good.
Well, celebrating. A lot of people would have probably said that it was fixed because we're related.
It was fixed. That's what I would have said. I would have said, no, we're taking the test. Start it over. Clear an hour 30 off the clock. Exactly. We're going from jump.
There we go. All right. Well, Ethan, I definitely want to thank you for spending this time here with us. It has been an honor and a privilege to sit here and to pick your brain about the hip-hop, about the Twitter, about the French press coffee, about what inspires you.
Dude, you said the Twitter.
The Twitter. I'm an old man. Leave me the fuck alone.
I'd like to thank you for knowing me for 27 years and, you know, just kind of dealing with that.
Oh, it's been an easy 27 years, like falling off a log there. It's like getting...
It's been the easiest 27 years I've ever had, I'll tell you that.
Well, it's been pretty easy for me, too. Now, the next 27, I don't know, because I got you by a bunch more than 27 years.
Well, who knows what science is going to look like at that point. I'm leaving that up to science.
There we go. Because we know you're not leaving it up to math, because you don't know math.
if I drink enough vodka, then I'll just be able to preserve myself. Oh, hey, no, shit. Yes. I remember that joke I was trying to think of. It's not funny. It's not it's not worth the wait that it would have been. On the spot, it wouldn't have even been funny. On the spot, it would have at least been intolerable, and now it's just going to be awful. I was going to say that 3.5 points were the standard amount of points for the median American household. So gotcha. go ahead and be sure to thank everybody for sticking around for that fucking nougat.
Not a problem. That there, everyone's always happy to stick around on the podcast here. So any final thoughts about creating more than you consume?
Yeah, do that. Sounds like pretty good plan. Yeah. Good.
Everybody, dude, go a lot of fun.
There's some of these that I missed in the past. If you contact somebody to do this, do it. It's fun. Dude, I'm going to go back through and listen to every single one that you've done so far. These are a blast, man.
Well, we try to make it as fun as we can for you, for sure.
You do a good job. I was like half awake when I started this, and now I'm ready. I'm gunning.
See, this is better than a pot of French press coffee. That's much better.
I've never had your French press.
No, you haven't. Yeah. Well, let me put a caveat on that. This is better than most people's French press coffee. Now, with that being said, you owe me a visit. We will set up a Sunday, and we will have some of my French press coffee.
I was actually just going to talk plane tickets here. Yeah, let's. All right. Otherwise, I got a bicycle. We can. You know, how long you got to wait?
No, it'll take me a day and a half to make the coffee.
Okay, it'll take me more than a day and a half to bike there, so.
Not a problem. I'll wait as long as it takes. You just tell me when you're a day and a half out.
All right, sounds good to me. I'll send you a Twitter.
Good deal. Well, again, I want to thank my guest here, Ethan Rush. Ethan, it's been, again, a pleasure. Thanks for spending your afternoon here with us. I think a lot of people got a lot out of this conversation. And if they want to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to do that besides getting a hold of me?
Go ahead and check out SoundCloud. The / is Make Words Rhyme. That's the URL you can take a look. Otherwise, got some visual art, some tattoo flash and design on Instagram as well. That's under Goddamn It Ethan, and it's got two M's instead of an N in Goddamn It.
Excellent. Go check him out, folks. Not just because he's my nephew, but because if you don't check him out, I'm going to rip your fucking thorax out, okay?
Oh, shit.
I get to do that because I'm me. All right.
All right. Thank you for listening to Create Art Podcast in our special episode here, KDOI Rebroadcast Hip Hop as Art Form interview with Ethan Rush. This was a pleasure to bring to you. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And if you'd like to reach out to me, you can reach out to me via email, timothy@createartpodcast.com. And you can go to our website, look at the show notes, look at all the things that we are doing there. If you would like to be on the show, please reach out to me. And if you got anything from the show, you may want to go talk to a psychologist or something like that. But let me know. Shoot me an email. I'd be happy to talk with you and help you with your artistic journey. Because, hey, folks, we need to have some fun sometimes. I'm just saying. So until next time. Tame your inner critic, create more than you consume, and go create art for somebody you love, yourself. See you next time.